Council meeting, please. And as always, we will start with a call to order and a pledge of allegiance after a moment of silence. Mr. Crawford, could you call the roll, please?
We have Eric Davidson.
Here.
Karina Higgins.
Here.
Ryan Lopez.
Here.
Richard May.
Present.
And Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
Garth Baldwin and Mike Hill request to be excused.
Do we have a motion to excuse Garth Baldwin, please?
A motion.
Moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passed. Could I have a motion to excuse Mike Hill, please?
A motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's passed 5-0. Okay. The next item is a public hearing on the 2023 budget.
Is that the first thing we're doing?
Yep. See?
Yep, great.
Public hearing. Person speaking on any issue will be allowed 5 minutes. Additional non-repetitive testimony will be allowed after all testimonies have been heard. Testimony can also be sent to the City Council at cityofblaine.com. So Mr. Heberling, would you like to present this, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, Council members. Dan Heberling, the Finance Director, and tonight will be a public hearing of the General Fund budget. And then we'll have another public hearing on November 28th, which for the Public Works budget. But anyone can talk about General Fund then too if they want to. So I'll just do a quick high-level overview of the numbers that we discussed before. So beginning fund balance for the general fund is proposed at $3,761,134. Total operating revenue is $7,862,547. Total revenues of $7,865,047. Operating expenses proposed $8,678,165 and total expenses of $8,815,655. We have expenses over revenue of $950,608 and an ending fund balance of $2,810,526. And that's all for me.
Right, if anyone would like to speak, you may approach the microphone. You have 5 minutes, and please give your name and your address for the record.
That would be pertaining just to the budget,
Hearing. Public hearing is on the budget only.
Hello, Janet Picard, 733 Adelia Street, Blaine. I'm here speaking for the Senior Center in Blaine. We have struggled in the past, like everybody has, through the pandemic and closed for a while, but we're up and operating now. We have over 400 members right now, and it's increasing every day. In 2020, our budget from the city was $60,000. Which we didn't spend because we were closed for most of 2020. And in 2021, I believe there was nothing allocated for the Senior Center. And 15,000, which was one quarter of what we had when we were fully operational. And this year, I understand that our budget has been set or recommended at 15,400 and something, which is not even enough to pay for one employee for half of a year. And this is where this money goes to. So I'd like to request that the city allocate more funds to the senior center. We are doing everything possible to try to save money and make money. And we no longer give out free coffee. We have to charge for coffee at the senior center, which a lot of our members complain against. But I would like to suggest that you increase that amount as much as possible, perhaps up to the what we had in 2020 and years before of 60,000. Any questions?
There's other funding that's not the city's that still happens, or no?
That's correct. So the county portion is still happening. So the total amount they receive is much more than the 15. She's just addressing the part.
The part that's from the city, but there's a whole county budget that does other things.
County was 61,000 approximately in 2020. Same in 2021. 2022 was also 61,000. 2023, it's like 63,000 coming from the county.
So when the pandemic started to not be the impact to how everything runs, and we started switching things back on, is there a specific reason why the senior center didn't return to its normal budget at that time?
I don't remember exactly.
Okay, so this wasn't by design. You weren't trying to make sure, oh no, we don't want to put this senior budget back. It just didn't.
I think in 2022, when this was discussed during budget time, we weren't exactly sure of exactly what it would be with the pandemic and the recovery. So it was set at 15,000. Now for 2023, it was just increased by 3.5%, but that number could definitely bump back up if council wants to do that. So it wasn't set specifically saying we need to reduce their budget right now.
And how many total employees are there over at the senior center, like two or three or something?
We have right now one full-time interim director and one part-time admin staff.
And with the normal city budget, that would just increase by around one person? Or
yes, normally we would have a director and two part-time.
So there'd be an additional person. So that's where most of the city's money would go if you had it.
I believe the director's position is paid for directly from the county.
Right, but if you have the portion of the city money that you had previously had before the pandemic, it would go into staffing. That's where that money would go.
Staffing and programs.
And programs. Okay, thank you.
And has your level of service to the community return to where it was at pre-pandemic levels?
I would say not completely, but it's getting there. We now serve lunch 5 days a week, and the numbers of people coming in for lunch is about 25, and that's getting up to close to where it was pre-pandemic. For the programs, yes, we're back to where we were before. So we hope to have more programs involved.
When you're talking about lunches, are you talking about lunches on site, or are you also talking about meals that are being delivered?
On site.
And are you delivering meals as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. And we also have on Thursdays, there's a drive-through. People can pick up their lunches for a full week, frozen lunches and one hot meal.
So when you're talking about lunch, you're really talking about a much broader scope than just the 25 people that you're feeding.
Oh yeah,
interest.
But those the meals come through Meals on Wheels, which is a different program. Is there a council member that's allocated to?
That's me. That's why I'm trying to ask questions that I think might be helpful.
Okay. Here are the menus for lunch. Okay, we'd love to have you come and have lunch with us.
Thank you. I have before.
Anything else?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on the 2023 budget? So the public hearing will be open in 2 weeks' time to consider the Public Works, is that correct?
Yes, and but if someone wants to discuss general fund then too, they can. It's just 2023 budget is the next public hearing.
Okay.
And Your Honor, before we move on to that, you know, the next public hearing, I think we should give the opportunity to members of the Zoom public. You know, let's give about 30 seconds or so, see if anyone wants to raise their hand or simply just unmute themselves and start speaking.
Okay. Dan, do you want to add anything else? Okay, we will then move on to audience participation. Audience members will have 3 minutes to speak. If you plan on commenting remotely via Zoom, please raise your hand. Someone has raised their hand.
Yes, Jennifer, I see you're raising your hand. Were you wishing to speak during the public hearing or during the audience participation portion of the meeting?
The audience participation.
Perfect.
Okay, you can speak first, and then Sandra will speak from the Friends of the Blaine Library, which we have. So go ahead, Jennifer, you have 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you. I would just like to comment on resolution 1903-22, which is designating the Bellingham Herald as the official newspaper to be used for City of Blaine public announcements. I know that they meet the criteria, and I know it's important that we get that information out to the community, but I don't personally know anybody who subscribes to the Bellingham Herald, and they do have a paywall, so if you don't subscribe, you can't read them online, whereas everybody I know reads the Northern Light and gets the Northern Light because it's free, and it's free to read it online. So I would like to ask the city to consider also using the Northern Light for the exact same announcements that you're using or that you're putting in the Bellingham Herald. And even if there should be a fee, I think that could be justified by the fact that I think a lot more people would see these announcements than would see them in the Bellingham Herald.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Crawford, do you want to comment on that, seeing as we discussed this?
Yeah, certainly. So in terms of the official paper of record, yeah, the reason why we go with the Bellingham Herald is essentially due to the fact that I contact the Northern Light every year to see if they are able to be our official paper record, and every year they say no. In terms of legally speaking, this year they are saying they're uncertain. And so, you know, again, I thought we'd go with the Bellingham Herald, considering the Northern Light is unsure if they can be our official paper record, but that doesn't mean that we can't still post things with the Northern Light. Like, for example, I always post things in the Bellingham Herald, legally speaking, and then I post things like public hearings and those sorts of items in the Northern Light as well. Anything that is good to get out to the general public of Blaine, I generally have a policy, at least in the city clerk's office, in posting it in the Northern Light as well.
Okay. All right. If it's the same information, that's great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Then I have next for audience participations, Sandra Bogan from the Friends of the Blaine Library. And again, you have 3 minutes to make your presentation. Oh, Debbie. You have changed. Welcome back.
Debbie Farmer knows a few things about libraries.
Yes, she does.
Good evening. I'm Debbie Farmer. My address is 5276 Cherry Tree Lane, Blaine. Some of you recognize me as the previous library manager here in Blaine. I was there from 2003 to just retired last year in 2021 after 18 years. So I am not speaking with a Blaine Library hat on. I am speaking as a friend of the library now. But because I've been a part of the building history for so long, we felt that I could best compile a history for you. Let me just put it out there that this does not have anything to do with the 2023 budget, but maybe the 2024 budget. So there you go. I did provide you with a handout here. The library in Blaine has been a key component of this city since 1911. Libraries have been very important. to the community. You can see the early history. 1932 is when they went into a room in the old Blaine City Hall. And then in 1988, you can see the picture of the old Public Works garage that was converted into the library. And that has now been, 34 years ago. The building is tired. I've highlighted various things that have happened throughout more recent history. Starting in 2006, there was an analysis done by David King. And even at that point, it was stated as being undersized for the usage. Does not meet current WCLS service policy, and that's the library system service level policy. Next, there were a couple. The first one in 2007, a mixed use plan had been presented by a local developer. The idea was to build a civic plaza that would include City Hall, the senior center, and the library, in addition to commercial space and condos. Another mixed use proposal happened again in 2012. When a group of Chinese investors came forward and they were interested in participating in the EB-5 visa program, where you invest so much money into a community and you then are able to get a green card. That was discussed for a long time, and then finally the federal government had to approve that visa, and they denied it, saying at the time the community of Blaine did not fit the economic level that needed to be achieved. And it was I think partly due because of Semiahmoo. They had to be depressed areas. I did include one other handout that lists, that shows the city of Blaine. This is the actual city's document of the capital improvement plan for general government. This was in 2010. And you can see a line item in 2015, $3 million for a new library. Obviously that has not happened, but I'm just pointing these things out to you that this is not a new subject. I know some of you folks are a little bit newer to this, the conversation here. So I wanted to just update you on this. I'm not gonna go through much more. I did want to mention that we were part of the strategic economic initiative done by Mr. Beckwith in 2017-2018, and the finding on that was that the Blaine Library received a priority, high priority status for something needing to be addressed in the community. But also, in fairness, they identified lead participants to bring that forward would be the Blaine Library, the Whatcom County Library System, and then the Friends of the Library and an Economic Development Committee for Blaine. So the Friends of the Library stepped up to the plate, and they proposed funding an architectural design for a new building, and also a survey of the existing building. That was done by King Architecture Architects. And I have the documents that support all of these just brief comments, but they did not recommend reusing the existing building. All existing systems were beyond their useful life and were in need of replacement. And so they suggested a new library building. So then the architectural team had hosted four public meetings and gathered community input. And then you can see on the back page, the final design was actually presented on March of 2020, right before COVID shut down. So all of the preliminary work has been done. The Friends of the Library paid for all of this, up to $50,000. I don't know what the final amount was, but it was sizable. So they had stepped up to the plate. The Whatcom County Library System had been a part of this discussion. And so now, here we are, 3 years later, and just wanted to bring this information forward to you so that you have an idea of what we're all about. We had just previously requested a joint meeting with you folks and the Whatcom County Library System and the Whatcom County Library Foundation to just have start up the discussions again. Okay, what's next? I will say that the library system, because this is a city, an incorporated city, they are not the key player. It's up to the city to provide the building, and they will come in and provide the services. So again, just wanted to get this on your radar. That meeting was postponed. You will be hearing from us first of the year in all respect to, you know, the city manager transition and your full plate right now. But please don't lose sight of the need for the library to have a new building. Thank you. Any questions?
No, thank you very much for your presentation.
Okay, thank you.
Actually, can I? Well, we've got her. As I'm looking at your spreadsheet, just to make sure, we're going to be talking about our legislative agenda. I've had a couple of conversations with Christine Perkins regarding your project, and with the idea that if it were possible to get assistance from the state, either in a potential $2 million, I know that there's a $2 million, I don't know if you can call it a grant from the state, there's that possible pool of funds. And then there's also the possibility of the city of Blaine putting it on their legislative agenda, which is something that we're going to be talking about later this evening. Is this number that is on your spreadsheet, is this, would you say that this is your most current figure?
No.
Do you have a more updated number?
That figure was done in 2009 or 10.
Okay.
So the number that came up for the design work, I believe, was $7.6 million. And of course, by now, that figure would be even higher. We were looking at up to a 15,000 square foot building to support the population and future population, and that was narrowed down to 8,600 square feet. And at the time, the Birch Bay Library was discussed, and that now has been, I'm not sure what the current status is. They're still waiting to hear whether they'll be able to get the $2 million from the state with the renovating of the existing house that's there.
Right, that's what I talked to Christine on Friday, and that was the latest. So, okay, thank you.
Okay, are there any other members of the audience, either on Zoom or in the audience, who would like to participate? All right, doesn't seem like it. So Mr. Crawford, could we go on then to the written communications?
Certainly. We have an email dated October 26, 2022 from Laura Friend regarding political signage. Email dated November 2nd, 2022 from Michael Herda regarding mobile home parks. Email dated November 7th, 2022 from Annie Ashford regarding East Harbor Hills rezone. and an email dated November 7, 2022 from Mark Douglas regarding ongoing problems that need police response.
Okay, thank you. So moving on then to the consent agenda. Items listed below will be enacted by one motion. If separate discussion is desired on an item, that item may be removed from the consent agenda and placed on the regular agenda at the request of a council member. So we have a voucher memo, approval of bills $1,104,828.25, a wire register, three, approval of payroll $705,865.57, approval of October 24, 2022 City Council minutes, approval of October 25, 2022 Special City Council minutes, a request to approve the amendment in the existing contract with Braxma Engineering, amendments to contract employees' employment agreements, a bid award for equipment purchase and installation for hypochlorite generating system, resolution 1904-22, setting the schedule for regular Blaine City Council meetings for 2023, resolution 1903-22, designating the Bellingham Herald as the official newspaper for the City of Blaine for the 2023 calendar year. Could I have a motion to accept the consent agenda, please?
A motion.
Seconder?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The consent agenda is approved 5-0. Moving on to the council action items. The first one is discussion and approval of a 2023 legislative agenda. Mr. Wilbeck, please.
We do have the
good evening, Council, Madam Mayor, and Holly. So tonight we brought to you a, I think it's been a routine actually for a couple of years since I left, a legislative priorities for the Council to approve tonight and add to if you'd like. We've talked about the library, for example. So just a little bit of background, and Holly's here as well to speak to this in detail and give a little bit about her background as well as the company that she represents, who's been working for the City of Blaine really since about 2014, I think, 2015, when we began the push to have some infrastructure provided up in East Blaine. So, Holly, do you want to speak on this tonight?
Of course. Thank you, Dave, and good evening, Council. I am Holly Cochi, the city's state lobbyist, along with Brianna Murray, who is not here this evening, but together we really serve as your eyes, ears, and voice in Olympia. So thank you for taking the time to hear from me this evening. I did just share my screen. Can everyone see that?
Yes.
Okay, great. So my goal this evening is to provide you all with a recap of the legislative process, what we expect to arise this upcoming 2023 session, and lastly, to briefly go over the draft legislative agenda prior to your discussion and consideration. And then we'll go over some next steps to support the city's legislative efforts. So starting first with what we can expect during the 2023 session, you'll recall that the legislature operates on a two-year cycle, and 2023 will mark the beginning of the 2023-25 biennium. It is the first year of the biennium, meaning it will be a long session beginning on January 9th and lasting 105 consecutive days. During a long session, the legislature has two primary tasks. The first is to develop and adopt operating, capital, and transportation budgets for the 2023-25 biennium. As a reminder, the operating budget is what funds the operations for state agencies, including the K-12 education system. The state's most recent revenue forecast released in September projected revenues for the current biennium to come in slightly higher than the prior forecasted amount, and revenues for the next biennium to be slightly lower than the prior forecasted amount. The next forecast will be released here in a few days. I think it's November 4th or November 18th, excuse me. And the governor's budget proposal will be developed based on those numbers. Overall, we expect a robust operating budget, but anticipate the legislature will want to be cautious about new spending. The capital budget is what funds brick and mortar construction of state facilities that are not transportation related. It is funded primarily through the sale of bonds, and the size is relative to the size of the operating budget. We are expecting a significant capital budget with the legislature prioritizing investments towards behavioral health and housing. The transportation budget funds the construction and operation of the state's transportation system. And historically, it has been primarily funded with gas tax revenues. But the recent passage of the Climate Commitment Act or the cap and trade program has created a new revenue stream for investments in projects or programs that reduce carbon emissions. Transportation budget writers will also be focused on providing guidance for the implementation of the Move Ahead Washington package as well. So in addition to the budgets, the legislature will devote much of their time considering and adopting policy bills. Traditionally, we see a few thousand bills introduced and about 300 to 400 bills that actually make it through the legislative process and are signed into law by the governor. We knew that the outcome of the November election would determine the political split of both chambers. There were over 25 legislators who chose not to seek re-election for the positions they are currently holding. Although there are still many ballots to be counted across the state and a few close races remain uncertain, including the 42nd district's Senate seat, it is expected that the Democrats will maintain the majority in both chambers. Coming up in the next couple of weeks, each caucus will select their leadership, and the majority party from each chamber will determine the chairs and the structure of each legislative committee. So transitioning to the city's legislative agenda development. The legislative agenda is a single page document that lists the city's top 2 to 5 priorities for the biennium. The purpose of having the legislative priorities is to have a focused list of items for both your state legislators, Brianna and myself, along with city staff, to work on advancing. The legislative process is a very fast-paced process where thousands of policy issues are discussed, really stretching legislators' time and attention. So if there are too many legislative priorities, attention and focus will be divided and the likelihood of success really decreases. So viable priorities, take that into account as well as consider the current political environment and are issues that will have the greatest and most direct benefit to the city. So with that in mind, I know you all have an understanding of each item that is currently listed on the agenda, so I'll just briefly go over each one. The first item on the proposed agenda is a request for $2.5 million of capital budget funding to extend the sewer system to the Grandis Pond development. I know you all just had a work session to discuss this area within the city's budget. I wasn't able to listen to the entire discussion, but this request can be adjusted accordingly. The next item is one that the city would be providing a supportive role on, but not leading. And just for awareness purposes, the school district has contracted with our firm to assist in the development and advocacy of this request this session. So separate from the city, Brianna and I will be working with the school district in an effort to secure $1 million for this project. And then the next proposed priority is titled fiscal sustainability. Most jurisdictions are still playing catch up from the implications stemming from the pandemic. However, Blaine and other border communities continue to experience decrease in commerce that really hasn't caught back up from pre-pandemic levels. I believe you all have seen the Association of Washington Cities adopted a 2023 agenda for the session. AWC has a supplement document that highlights significant issues for cities, which includes a statement regarding the consideration of revising the property tax cap to tie to inflation rather than that current 1% cap. The other component within this statement on the city's agenda is to increase state shared revenues, which is an item highlighted with within the AWC's infrastructure funding priority, which I think is listed third on their agenda. So this statement on the city's agenda shares support for a general need by most jurisdictions, but highlights why it's important to Blaine and the unique position border communities continue to face. The next item is regarding local transportation maintenance and preservation. Another priority for many communities, but again, of specific importance to the city and the unique needs of a border community. This statement acknowledges the work that was done last session, while also sharing that as the state considers different sources of revenue to support the state's transportation system, that there be a dedicated portion that is directed to local maintenance and preservation efforts. I was listening into the city's work session earlier. Mayor Pro Tem and Councilmember Davidson, you had mentioned the state's shift of gas tax to another form of revenue when going over the city's road funds. You're spot on that the state will be discussing this during the 2023 session, and local governments need to be a part of that discussion to ensure cities receive a fair share of whatever revenue sources identified. Whether that ends up looking like a road usage charge program or otherwise, it is important we continue to elevate this issue and the need for local transportation maintenance and preservation support. The last item on the agenda is regarding housing availability and affordability. Another priority that AWC has included in their agenda as well. We expect there to be a robust discussion around housing during session, and really conversations have already begun. I'll just note really quickly, AWC organized a housing solutions group made up of a variety of city staff and local elected officials from around the state to hone in on a city-led effort for the 2023 session. They have just wrapped up that group discussion and should be releasing it's a housing policy package is what they're calling it here soon. In general, though, the main goal within this package are for investments to support housing for lowest income levels, regulatory flexibility to respond to local housing needs, incentives to increase the supply of housing development for all incomes, and tools to preserve existing affordable units. So more to come around this issue. Cities certainly aren't the only ones waiting and wanting a seat at the table on this topic. So there will be several proposals from other stakeholders that may or may not work for jurisdictions. So more to come on this topic, and we will have the ability to voice the city's stance with the delegation and others as it makes sense to do so and as discussions progress. So hopefully that provides you with some context of what we expect for the 2023 session and how the legislative priorities before you this evening kind of fit into that. The legislature will convene for committee days November 30th through December 2nd, which is really the start of their policy discussions and legislative work. And then bills will begin being pre-filed in early December. And after after the city's legislative agenda is approved and finalized, the next task will be to schedule some time to brief the 42nd district legislators on the city's priorities. And then before you know it, it's session, which begins on January 9th, and you can find Brianna and I in the halls of the Capitol basically at all hours of the day. So with that, thank you for your time. I'm happy to stick around as you all discuss the proposed agenda or if you have any questions.
Are there any questions to Holly?
Holly, I have a couple of questions, and it may be good questions to Dave as well as Holly. This is Councilman Davidson. So are we, I've got a couple of questions. Let's start with the first one. Are we putting ourselves out on a limb here or using our time with any of these that you feel like are just, wasting good time after that? Is there anything that you feel like, oh yeah, the legislature is not interested in this year, or are these all possibilities? One thing that comes to mind, and this may be just a matter of supporting the Blaine School District, but if I'm a legislator and somebody says I want $1 million to go put a bathroom in a soccer field, but there's no houses or no infrastructure that's going to be out there, I tell them no. So that's just one example. Do you feel like there's any that might be a thumbs down and we should not spend our time looking at it?
So in terms of our funding requests, so we have, if we want to count the school districts, we would have two, right? Ours is our request. The other one is we're supporting it. It's kind of like when we were supporting Marine Drive, it was more of a partnership on that element, but this is more of we're showing our support. It doesn't necessarily have to be second on the list, but I do think that it's important to include. The others remaining are more policy or like big budget items, and are definitely ones that AWC are tackling and will be a part of that dialogue and that conversation. It'll be up to you all when I'm throwing different pieces of legislation at you that possibly have legs, because I don't want to waste your time and share every single piece of legislation that comes about. But ones that end up having legs, we're going to have to look at and determine whether it works for us or not. And if we want to chime in as on behalf of the city of Blaine to indicate how we feel about that proposal. If all of those policy items on the current legislative agenda are something where we feel as though we as Blaine will want to share our perspective, then I say maintain it and keep it. But if it's more of we likely would just join the coalition and AWC and move forward in that group type role, then it's not necessarily as important to include it. That's, you know, we always provide the statement at the bottom that shares that we support AWC's priorities as well. Hopefully that answers your question.
And then the second question, and it's a little more specific, and I think I've talked to a couple council members about this, but I've been working with some local businesses on some ecological marine education items for Blaine. Drayton Harbor Oyster is one that comes to mind, that they would like to do something in the, you know, education realm, and there's others as well that have those kind of needs and thoughts. If we wanted to get like a blanket grant or a specific grant for, I'll just pick a number, $25,000 for a grant for, we'll just say Drayton Harbor in this point, or anybody, do we go about that by kind of asking for this budget, or is that a greater education budget? What's the best way of going about it? Is you getting involved in that something that's important, or do we go a different route? Or can you?
Yeah, sorry, council member. It was like in and out, but I think I caught the bulk of what you were saying. If it's something that is not, the city is not taking a major lead in, then we can always support and share our support for that and have a discussion with our legislative delegation. But if it doesn't rise to the level of the legislative agenda, then it wouldn't be up to the city to want to develop some type of grant program or move a bulk of funding forward for that type of education.
So that might be the kind of thing that I personally, or somebody personally, talks to their assembly person or senator about and says, hey, can you fold this into the ecological education fund kind of thing? That wouldn't be you necessarily.
Correct. I do think, though, there are probably funding opportunities that have not been tapped into. So I would encourage you to look into that, or if you want, you know, city staff to dedicate time to look into that, which includes me as well. There are various funding programs that oftentimes are just so overlooked. One of them I was just thinking of when you brought up your cemetery maintenance. There's a historical cemetery grant program that oftentimes isn't tapped into and has has funding potential. So there are options, and sometimes it's just a matter of having one, the staff time to look into it, and two, the staff time to actually apply, which is a lot of work. But I'm happy to have further discussion with you about if there's something in specific that you're wanting to bring forward in education wise, or if it could fit into a grant program. I'm happy to talk to you about that as well.
Fantastic. Thanks, Holly. We'll go through Dave on that. Appreciate it.
Clarify something that just was discussed there. Are you saying that the applicant for the quarter mile of sewer pipe going into the middle of the field for one set of restrooms, the applicant for that is actually the Boeing School District, and it's on our list just so we can say, yeah, I think that's cool?
Correct. Yes. So the school district will be leading this request. Their name will be on it. That's it. Really, the role that Blaine is playing is you all have a lot of the information and the data needed to apply to this, to the local community's capital budget request. And so a lot of that synergy is kind of, that's kind of where it hits. But also, I mean, the city has found that the project will be a benefit to the city with it being eventually an area that will have potential for residential and commercial growth. So that's kind of where the mutual support has been. When before Michael left, he had indicated that this request was at the top of the list for the school district and it would be a benefit to the city. So that's kind of where we started that partnership, and here we are today.
Okay, and the other thing I noticed in my packet was there was a page that it took me a little to realize it was some boilerplate stuff from the Association of Washington Cities. It was in our packet. I was reading through, I thought it was our priorities, and then all of a sudden I was reading some other things, and I realized it was just AWC, probably statewide, some stuff there about changing the law enforcement laws that had become contentious, and a couple of other things. And there's been a number of different times where the interests of the city of Blaine are not perfectly in line with what the Association of Washington Cities has chosen as a blanket general for the whole state. And so I just wanted to make sure there was a discrepancy there, that we're not necessarily putting the full weight and reputation of the city of Blaine behind each and everything that was in that AWC flyer that was tacked onto our packet there. Thank you.
Yeah, I think Dave may have included that as just a reference and for you all to see kind of how our priorities mesh with AWC's, but certainly not we will not always be aligned with every single priority. And if that's the case, and let's say there's a specific piece of legislation that AWC is broadly supporting, that's when, and we have some strong feelings about it, that's when we have an individual conversation with our legislative delegation and share that.
Okay. That's great. I'll just flag one in particular. The there's a move in some size cities to stop having zoning sections and just starting saying you can build anything you want anywhere, which is a very contentious argument going on as to whether or not that solves the homelessness problem, or whether that allows predatory developers to just simply knock down all the single family units and put in a whole bunch of other unaffordable housing and just higher density that nobody can afford anyway. So I certainly, case by case basis, we're not always going to be on board with AWC.
Yeah, and Mayor Pro Tem, that's exactly why we have housing as a priority on our agenda, because we are aligned with a lot of cities, but we do have individual opinions about that. And that gives us the ability to be hyper-focused on that issue and share with you all what's coming about, and for us to share our opinions.
Great, thank you.
Holly, I wanted to thank you, first of all, for helping put the information that you've presented this evening together. When I took a look and reviewed the materials, I did have an opportunity to speak with Dave Wilbrecht and ask about how we would go about having the Blaine Library added as a potential legislative agenda item. I'm relatively new to the council, so this is a new process for me. And I wanted to get your thoughts. I've been having some conversations within the county with the Whatcom County Library Systems Executive Director about this as a possible way that we could go forward. I know that Ferndale, I believe within the past 10 years or so, was able to accomplish a library construction project going this route. And so I wanted to get your thoughts about if Blaine were to make this a legislative priority, would that make some sense? As I'm looking at it, we have a lot of development that we're expecting in East Blaine. It's going to bring in a lot of families with children. It's going to place a significant burden on our existing library structure. These are going to be a lot of affordable housing communities. And we're, you know, I think the expectation is that a lot of these families will be coming in, needing to use the services and the technology of the library that simply will not be sustainable in the long term. So it makes sense that now would be a good time to be thinking about the library in conjunction with the development that's happening in this community.
I want to dovetail onto that just for clarity for Holly's sake. Whatcom County Library System has a model where a lot of the libraries are owned by the individual municipality, and the library system just supplies the books and the librarians with their tax base. So this isn't necessarily a case of the Whatcom County Library System being who will be asking for state funding, because it's a partnership in that regard.
Right. They help brainstorm, but they don't provide the dollars.
Yeah, no, appreciate the dialogue. So I'm just hearing of this. I did hear the public comment and noted that you guys would probably want to talk about this. I didn't hear the, I know that it was an old cost estimate, but what was the cost of what they're wanting to expand and improve the library?
It sounded like it was approximately $7.5 million.
But they've already got some earmarked money. I think she mentioned there was $2 million that they still have hanging in the air that they just have to go ahead and build and they get it. So you need to be briefed on what funding they've already got in the pipe.
Yeah, the big questions would be, have we saw any of the grant? So that library capital improvement plan, I know it's got a limit on it, but I didn't hear whether that has been sought after for this project. The other questions that come to mind is, has there been any previous investments, or is there any agreed investments towards that $7 million that will locally be invested? Are there other elements of funding so that the state can be more so of the last dollar in for this project, this type of project? I think that always makes a capital budget request more viable.
Can you get the Whatcom County Library System to just send a white page to Holly so that
Absolutely.
She has that those details?
Yeah, my response to the question of how much they're into this, the Friends of the Library, I think, have done a lot of work. They've done a lot of considering their needs for the library. A lot of the initiative through the library system was for the Birch Bay Library, which has in the past couple of years not been approved by voters. So the Blaine Library, I don't think, actually has initiated a vote to the public about funding, for example. So I think they're a little bit behind relative to those kinds of initiatives, but we can certainly give them a call and find out what kind of work they've done to date to give you a heads up about that. Like, you know, a larger question, I guess, that I have, and it kind of follows up Councilmember Davidson's comment, is, are libraries some of those types of projects that are within the pipeline or the, you know, field of influence that the legislature has now? We know transportation is, housing is, you know, those are big items that have been talked about. Are libraries still something that the legislature considers?
Yes, I would put them in the category of like a local park or a community center, which certainly does qualify for capital budget funds and, you know, can be competitive. I do think a water infrastructure project is more appealing. It's not as light and fluffy as a library, obviously, but the need is there and they know that statewide. So that would be, I do find that to be a viable request. Now, if it's less than 2.5 million than what we were thinking, maybe there's an opportunity to kind of split the request. So we ask for less for the water infrastructure project and we ask for a small amount for the library request.
Is this the kind of thing that we can work on over a multi-year period? I know, for example, the 1% sales tax, a 1% additional, not sales tax, 1% additional, 1 cent additional, thank you. 1 cent additional per gallon tax, that took a 2-year process because one year
they
didn't want to do anything and the next year they said it was okay. If we were to get our ducks a little more in a row as far as what we're willing to spend, maybe what we're willing to do, and even if it could look like something that was fancy and fun in a dual use capacity that the state would enjoy, do you think that would give us a better opportunity in 2024, 2025 to fund more of it?
Yep, I completely agree. I think it needs to be a little bit more cooked before we move forward. The thing about the sewer extension is we've been kind of aware of that this has been a priority for the city for a while. We were considering that being a capital budget request last biennium as well. So it's kind of been like lurking and been in the queue. So I mean, I do think that it's in the city's best interest to move that forward. Do I think this park request has library request has potential? I do. But I do agree that we could probably spend some more time on it. Maybe navigate whether there are some local funds, but also as well some grant funding opportunities that we haven't tapped into yet, and then bring it to the legislature.
Great. Thanks for the advice. It's very, very helpful. All right, Council, what's your pleasure?
Any questions to Dave? Before I ask for questions, if I'm not mistaken, one of the problems with the Blaine Library has been getting clarity from the Whatcom County Library System on where they were putting their interest. And up until the Birch Bay Library was defeated, I think a second or third time, they made it very clear to us, to Michael, Bonnie, and I, that they were not really interested in doing anything with Blaine, that their focus was on Birch Bay. So that was one reason why the city council in Blaine and the people in Blaine kind of just took a chill out, because we realized we didn't have the support from the WCLS. And that may be different now that the Birch Bay facility has not been approved by the voters.
And my understanding is that the county library system has found the money to go ahead and do something in Birch Bay that they're just going to kind of do despite having lost the vote of the people twice.
So the latest on the Birch Bay facility is that they're going to focus on the existing building that's there. There's $2 million in state funding. They're waiting for confirmation that $2 million is still available. Once they have that final confirmation, they're going to proceed with that existing structure. So I think the way I'm hearing it is, it sounds like they've been uncoupled. The Birch Bay project is separate and apart from the Blaine City Library, and I think we can view it the same way.
Well, and I know when that was going on that they uncoupled, there was a lot of talk of having a Birch Bay Blaine Library District, which encompassed basically Birch Bay and Blaine to get 15 or so thousand people. And that would have been part of the funding if potentially that levy or whatever could pass there. And then for whatever reason, you're right, Mayor, they decided that that wasn't what they wanted to do. If that was something that Birch Bay was on board for and Blaine was on board for, I'd be happy to consider putting that together. But I mean, it's going to take time, right? And in kind of the perfect cool scenario for everybody, it's talk of like private funding that makes cool little commercial shops downstairs and a library on a second floor and condos on the third, and it overlook the water or whatever the case may be, right? That obviously didn't happen. But if that were to be something that was talked about or something similar, maybe that would be something that the state would look at and go, oh, they're putting in locally, they're putting in 2/3 of their money, both in tax and private money. And then we could probably get more from Olympia, I would think. And also, just like for the record, I'm not for supporting anything that may take away from what we're putting into the sewer at the moment.
Yeah.
So because that's a big chunk. Also, and last thing, Holly, thank you guys so much for everything you do. This is probably, and I'll give kudos to Dave on this, probably the best investment we've made in Blaine in the last 7 or 8 years, because you guys always return so much more than we give you. And there was talk during COVID about, having a hiatus for a year. And I think a few of us were against that because you have gotten us so much money over the years, and we appreciate your work all the time. And we know we're a small part of your business, but we appreciate everything you and your cohort does for us.
So thank you so much. Before I forget, really quick to piggyback off your comment, I don't know if they've already tried to apply for the Library Capital Improvement Program through the state, but another strategy I just thought of too is if we decide to go for that funding, if it hasn't happened yet, and let's say we don't get it, we can go to our delegation and share, hey, we've applied for these state funds, we weren't selected, we need this amount to finish out this project, what can you do to help us? Or even if we do receive it, it's obviously not going to be the entirety of the project. So let's say they give us $1 million and we need two, we can share it. Look, we applied, we received this amount, we still need this to complete this phase of the project or whatnot. That's always a great way to share that we've put in the effort and we need the state's help. So just a thought that just came to mind.
Were we supposed to, this is under action items, were we supposed to make a motion to approve?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Is there any further discussion?
For clarity, you're moving the proposed draft legislative agenda, the ones that are listed on the paper. Yes, thank you. Just for clarity.
Any further discussion? It has been moved and seconded. So if everybody's ready to vote.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, the only thing I'm really not excited for is getting rid of the 1% annual growth limit on property tax levies itself. But I mean, if this is an all or nothing type of scenario, I'm not going to hold it up.
I don't think it's an all or nothing scenario, but I think that, and Holly, correct me, or Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is something that even if it was passed, the city would have to vote on whether they want to implement it or not. So is that correct? If it was passed, we'd have to vote whether we implement the increase.
I believe that's yeah, right. So it would just kind of give us the permission to go ahead, vote on it.
See, it gives us a little more flexibility rather than Olympia telling us what we can do.
And regarding,
are you referring to the 1% property tax?
Yeah,
that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, so if that were to pass, that would be an all-around implementation throughout the state locally, whether you pass it or not. It wouldn't be a local option.
Oh, okay. Well,
so, and that property tax cap bill has come up several times, has not moved enough to pass. It is a top priority for several cities, but this housing statement on our agenda could definitely be revised so that it doesn't touch on that.
I just wanted to comment to you, Councilmember Lopez, regarding the 1% cap and what it does. We dealt with that levy lid list that have been having to happen since Tim Iman put in this 1% cap on a lot of other things. What happens is sometimes the actual cost of stuff goes up 1%. So because we have 8% inflation here, it's like if our job as a city government is to go over to the dollar store and get something, and so we collect a dollar from the citizens. Well, right now the dollar store is charging $1.25 for everything. And so if we don't tell the citizens, actually we need $1.25 from you, we're not gonna be able to come back from the dollar store with that item because it's $1.25 now and they only gave us a dollar. So having a 1% cap on that, that has nothing to do with what the realities of what the actual services that the citizens need us to provide to them. The citizens say, give us water, sewer, electric, police, and roads and sidewalks and all that stuff. And if that stuff goes up by more than 1%, having an arbitrary law that says you just can't increase it by 1% no matter what the realities are, stops us from being able to do the necessary job that we as a city government need to do. And that's why I believe the legislature is trying to not have that arbitrary 1% in there. Now, maybe somebody should come in and put in a 5% or an 8% or something, but right now we've just had an 8% global increase on what anything costs, and limiting to 1% means we're going to be firing police officers and saying, no,
I take your for it.
Pothole and
what, pardon me? Said I take your for it.
Okay, thank you very much.
I understand your point of view.
So. Okay, great.
And Dan, I think 1% increase in this particular fund is equates to about $12,000.
$13,400.
$13,000. Yeah. Okay. So, that's what $4 a household or so. I mean, you know the math. It's really not that much, and it's at our discretion. So.
The state is having they're working on a tax structure work group right now, and actually today I just listened into their meeting and they approved to have the Department of Revenue continue the data collection with the current forecast that's about to come up, and with the thought that a local this local property tax would be revised. And that information is coming in the beginning of December. I'm happy to, I'll share it with Dave so that you guys kind of have more of a recap on what that concept would look like. But dependent upon that, the work group may decide not to move a recommended proposal forward. I wouldn't be surprised if other entities propose some type of legislation about this, but that's just kind of where the state is at. And I just wanted to share that with you.
Okay, thank you, Holly. So this is resolution 1905-22, adopting the City of Blaine's 2023 legislative agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? So the resolution has been approved 5-0. Okay, moving on then. Ordinance 22-2989, approving the 2023 revenue and property tax levy. Mr. Heber.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council Members. This is Ordinance 22-2989, setting forth the increase for the 2023 property tax levy. So, pursuant to State Statute RCW 8455-120, cities required to pass the 2023 property tax levy and submitted to the assessor before November 30th. So the city has two options before it. One would be to not pass a 1% increase and then bank that 1% for future budgets, or we could do a 1% increase, which would generate approximately $13,400 in additional regular property tax revenue for the year. Budget implications on this is, setting this has no impact on the 2022 budget. However, it would increase 1% in the 2023 budget, which would generate an additional $13,400 in property tax revenue. Management and staff recommends waiving the second reading and adopting ordinance 2229-89, setting forth the increase for the 2023 property tax levy by 1%.
Are there any questions on this?
I move that we approve the ordinance.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Okay, ordinance 22-2989 is approved 5-0. Now we move on to...
Did we do the KPG Puzo?
That was coming up right now. A request to City Council to authorize the City Manager to sign the contract between KPG, Somerson, and City of Lane for planning, design, and engineering of the downtown revitalization. Mr. Wilbrecht.
I'm not quite sure what to say here tonight. You're hoping for seven people to be at the dais so that we can have all the present. Because that's been the big hang-up, is that you wanted everybody to have a chance to voice their opinions and share their thoughts around it. So happy to bring it back again if you like. Or you can vote on it, up or down. It's your pleasure.
Garth sends a resounding thumbs down.
He told me the same thing.
Yeah.
So anybody else want to add to that? That's one out of seven. There are six others.
Right. I wouldn't mind having a 5-10 minute discussion about it, pros and cons, and then vote next week, in 2 weeks on it. That's my personal opinion. If you guys want to vote, I'm happy to vote.
So. Is anyone sure about whether Garth will be back? Because he had a lot of different, very salient points about pros and cons about this. Does anyone know when Garth's going to be back?
I do not know. Sam, do you know?
All I know is I believe he'll be back later this week.
Okay. I wouldn't mind kicking the can one more time just to get Garth in the room. He's got so much to say about it. But is there any detriment to not taking action right now?
No, it's a project, right? So it just starts later, right? So there's a schedule that's been put together, and that was based upon it being approved earlier. So it just rotates the schedule.
So is there any grant money that dries up if we don't take action right now?
I believe so. I'm not aware of any. Are you aware of any? No.
Is there anybody of the five of us that has very strong feelings one way or the other on this?
I'm just not sure about it, right? Because it's a lot of money for a lot of fun stuff. I talked about this a long ago. And I like fun stuff, but I don't really like paying for it when we have, you know, an 8% increase, 8-10% increase in utilities. I would be a big supporter of some sort of bond, or not bond, some sort of voter levy to fund it, right? To fund this, to fund the parks, to fund the library, for that matter. As a voter thing, an election or during the next election is something that they vote on. I'm hesitant to vote yes on it now with the state that we're in as far as our budget goes. That doesn't mean next year or 6 months from now that we wouldn't be in a better spot, but I'm hesitant to say yes on it, even though I think it's a wonderful process project, but it just leaves me with a bad kind of feeling.
Well, that's one of the things that Garth and I were talking about, is what percentage of this is little grants and funds and thing money falling into our apps that just wouldn't be there anyway, and what portion of this is money that we could spend on other urgent needs? You got an answer on that? Or?
Well, I think I have a partial answer. So yeah. Part of the answer is ARPA money. I believe there's about $500,000 in ARPA money that's on the table. That's money that's city's money to spend. And I think there's grant money, about $1 million. Does that ring the bell? So I'm sorry that it's not as accurate. I didn't plan to spend a lot of time in the detail. Sounds like you need to have us come back with those answers, and then hopefully we'll have a full council. So I think, you know, Councilmember Hill certainly has an opinion about this, and we'd like to hear, we'd like to have your opinions and the vote.
So I think the most opinionated council members are both absent.
You just mentioned about $1.5 million that's coming from things other than us borrowing from our own urgent needs.
Sure. Let me see if we can get
back. Ballpark is fun.
Yeah, the state appropriation, $500,000 minus the $10,000 for planning and design.
So
I've got 400,000 is 2022-2023 TIP.
Yeah.
500,000 is state appropriation, 125,000 is CIP parks, 118,000 is 2022 CIP parks, and then 1.7 million is 2022-2023 TIP for the construction.
Thank you.
So the state appropriation, is that money that we need to spend or by a certain date or we're going to lose it?
And do you know that? I don't know. I'm sorry.
I don't know the answer to that either.
Okay, I think we still have leeway on the timing on that money. I was just trying to look at the whole picture, how much of this is money we could be repairing our sewer with instead. And it sounds like some of this is money that only shows up for exactly what this kind of project is for. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
So I think it might be a good idea just to clarify exactly these questions, because it is a lot of money, and I agree with the other council members that in this time when we're talking about not hiring people that we need, it may not be the best time to be spending funds. But if a lot of this money, and most of the money, is from grants and everything else, then that's a difference.
So the park money is impact fee money. So let's come back next meeting. You know, I think we've answered these questions. What's happened now? So much time has passed that I wasn't looking at it as a fiscal conversation tonight. I was looking at it from a different point of view, and so I wasn't prepared for the fiscal conversation. I apologize for that.
No problem.
It was really more around philosophy and what your interests relative to the downtown was about. So let me bring that back at the next meeting. We'll dig into it again, and hopefully all members of the council will be there. If we have to, we'll have a special meeting just to get beyond this thing.
Yeah, I think one thing that could help too is I know park impact fees. We've already hit our budget for this year. If we could maybe get, to date, what are our current fees?
Yep, we'll do that.
Have that in there.
Dave, what's the cost of this specific contract that we were talking about tonight?
I think it was 600.
Sorry.
So just for clarity, though, I just kind of touched bases with Gary about this. This project did include some downtown work, right? The actual hard part of the work included some street repairs and sidewalk repairs and some tree removal. So there are some things in this project that we're going to do anyway, because they're relative to safety, street tree root problems around sidewalks. And so we're going to, if it's not approved by council, then we'll figure out a way to drive it back into the operations budget, because we can't let some things go undone. And we'll let you know what that is as well.
I was going to say, and with that too, could you let us know, if that comes out to out of this 2.8 million, that's going to cost us 500,000 anyways that we have to do. I think that'd be good info for us.
Yeah.
And if there could be like a printout or a PDF that's just really down to the bullet points. I mean, the kind of thing that I'd be wanting to point to our two missing council members is if there was a pie chart of money we could have spent on other more urgent things or not. That's the pie chart I want to see, is how much of this is money that only exists because we're doing this fun thing. And if we don't do this fun thing, that money just never passes through Blaine at all. Well, that's a really big selling feature for the missing council members. I'm estimating.
It helps me understand what you want, so we can deliver, the data in a way that expresses what you're interested in.
And if there are funds like grant funds or other appropriations that have been specifically earmarked for this project, what are the conditions? So if you're going to expend funds anyway to do this work, could we use those earmarked funds to do a more modified project and use maybe the grant funds for that?
Mm-hmm. It sounds like he was talking about some of these urgent tree things were things that were going to be in our regular budget and kind of got pushed into, well, that's part of the beautification of downtown. So it looks like there were some advantages already on the way here, if I understand you correctly.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah. Great.
Okay.
All right, we'll bring her back.
All right, that ends the council action items. And so we have commission, committee, and board reports. Does anybody have any board reports they want to talk about?
Council of Governments is meeting in a couple of weeks from now, so I'll be updating you all at some meeting after that.
The tourism board met, and they were talking about the budget of where they wanted to go with grants, and that's still up in the air until our next meeting. Just because there's a lot more moving parts and a lot of new stuff and a lot of new people on the board this year. One thing that has been talked about, and I don't know if staff is going to put it forward or not, but we've talked about potentially moving some of Alex's position into, he's 50% of his position is currently general fund and 50% of it is tourism fund. We've talked about, and I've asked Dave about it, moving his remaining 50% position, moving 25% of it into the general fund, because his tourism time is not just based on stuff that he does for grants and overnight work. It's also day-to-day tourism stuff. So it's not BTAC funds specific. And I didn't promise the tourism board anything, but I just wanted to put that in your ears. That's something that I would like to have a discussion on. So,
like the resort charter puts a surcharge on every guest they have there that winds up in the BTAC fund.
Right, correct, yeah.
And that BTAC fund that BTAC money must be spent on.
That's a heads and beds fund.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not everything Alex does for tourism is heads and beds, so we were just trying to kind of even it out a little bit, as well as it would free up some monies for some heads and beds type events that we otherwise just won't be able to fund. So,
okay.
Yeah, quick update. Drayton Harmer. Currently, we're preparing our fall in winter outreach kits for those who live in sensitive areas. A new round of the Scoop and Poop campaign will be mailed mainly to the Simeon area, so have a look out for yours. And then there has been an idea that's been thrown around. I believe Steve from Drayton Harbor, possibly George Cause, is going to start asking us about kind of our thoughts around opening up the Southwest Tide Flats, southwest of the Simeon Marina, to open it up for recreational harvesting. So that's, you might be getting some phone calls and emails from them coming up.
Do we have any new business that we're going to discuss as well?
No.
Maybe next agenda? No.
So there's department reports first.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were closer to being done. My bad.
No. So Dave, do you have any reports?
So I don't really have a report, but I'll tell you a little story. So back in my early career, back in 1979 and 80, 82, I was hired as a park superintendent for the city of Redmond. And I'm telling this story because the CIP conversation earlier today and the conversations you're asking Steve and Gary just triggered my thoughts around this. When I got into that job, Redmond was the fastest growing city in the state of Washington. It was just coming out of the ground. Microsoft was early in its days, Visio Control. It was just this center of development. And my boss, John Couch, would call me up on the phone and say, there's a problem over here. There's a problem over there. So we were jumping all the time to problems, solving problems. And it seemed that on the face of it, that's how we should do our work. But it became very apparent over time in many ways, frustrations of always being called off a job, not finishing a job, staff unsettled around not being able to get things completed. It became apparent there was something that was kind of broken. We had a pretty good staff. We had a lot of people working for us. So I was fortunate enough to be sent to a maintenance management school and through the park system, through the National Parks and Recreation Association. And at the same time, I was in graduate school, and simultaneous to that was a company called Leo Barnicot and Associates, who came into Public Works to do a work load planning and control study. And so that really made sense. It's something that lined up in the stars with what I'd learned in mixed management school, which was you inventory your activities, you inventory your physical plant. You go through this process of setting performance standards and design or standards relative to how much something's maintained and frequencies. I mean, it was a big lift. It took us about a year and a half to 2 years to do this in-house. We actually time and motion study people doing work and learned many, many things. Most important thing was we had about 60,000 hours of manpower needed to manage the system. And we had about 30,000 man hours to do it. So the problem just became obvious. You can't put 60,000 hours into a 30,000 hour basket. So that was now the rub. We identified the problem. And then we went to the council and said, look, you have all kinds of issues and things you're thinking about. One of the things you need to think about is how are we going to implement your policy relative to our allocation of resource? No one's criticizing anyone. We just can't do 60,000 hours of work. So I thought about that over the years. We've implemented similar things over the years. The value to the city council is that when they would ask, what about this? We were very informed about what that was. We could tell them about that and what it took to do that. And then we asked them to approve our work plan every year, which said we had 25, 30, 40, 50,000 hours that added more resource to maintain levels of service. And the point of that, of course, is that the council then really felt like they were adding value to the workload. They just weren't calling out, there are problems. Everybody can do that, be critical about what's not getting done, became much more strategic. The city of Blaine is where the city of Redmond was back in 1980, 85, whenever that was. If you ask Gary about your work plan, he can tell you a lot about the work plan, but it's the work that they're doing tomorrow and the next day. I don't think we've gone to the point of quantifying the water system. We talked about it, we know about it. Steve is an encyclopedia on the water system. Soon as Steve leaves, the encyclopedia goes away, and now we're lost because that historical depth of knowledge is so powerful in his mind. So I know you've done a lot of work to document it. We've had GIS applications, but one of the things I've been thinking about doing, and you know, when I took this job as an interim, there was this conversation about whether I initiate new work, new programs, or I just do a status quo, keeping development start, you know, going, solving problems. But there are a couple of things that we really need to bring to the table, and that is some conversation around work management and control. Because as long as you don't have that, you're always going to be guessing about how long things take, how long is it going to last, what's going to fail next year, what are your plans to replace it? When you buy something, what does that mean? If you buy a new library, what is that going to cost the city to operate and maintain that over time? So all of those questions become much clearer as you answer questions around what's the workload and how much there is to do, what's your standard performance? How many people do you need to do that? And right now we guess with knowledge. I'm not saying not be critical about that. We have some very highly knowledgeable and capable people, but they're really having to deal with emergencies all the time because that's what you do when you don't have enough resource and direction around the workload. So that's kind of outside the scope of a normal director's report, but we're going to put together a plan to talk about that. We'll bring it up to the council and the budget, and you can take a look at that and see if that's something you want to do over the next year or 2 years. It's not something you can click your finger on, but it's a major project that would really be beneficial. It certainly helped me out back in the 80s. We clearly got our arms around that workload. Council saw clearly what the problems were, and we put together an initiative. The voters, they approved $300,000 or $400,000 in 1 year to increase levels of service for maintenance. So it becomes a very powerful tool, and we'll do more to define what that looks like for you. Consider.
Thank you. Okay. Are there any other department reports? Going on to calendars, they're pretty short, specific meetings all the time, other than that. Any unfinished business? Any council new business?
Yeah, I just was curious, would council like to see what the senior center actually does before we say yay or nay on the monies that they're asking for? Because, you know, they did go from 60 to 15, And I don't know if they need 60 and I don't know if they need 15. So, or do we just?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you spent much time with the senior center?
No.
I've spent a lot of time at the senior center, so I wouldn't want you to just take my opinion, but I boots on the ground on and off for the past 15, 20 years. The community meals there, and they got the weight room and the reading and the people playing the board games and having the extra one or two staffers. It's just a multi-purpose resource for a lot of the citizens of this town, and it's been very effective in the past. And I think that a lot of the things, I understand that when we turn off something because of the pandemic, it is an opportunity to come and go, hey, did we need that in the first place? My assertion on this particular one is, yeah, we needed that in the first place. And if we're turning the faucet back on everything because the pandemic's fading off, then I would say this should be on the list of things that gets turned back on.
Yeah, just one complicating factor. During all this time, we were sending some money to the senior center and they weren't open. They had closed, you see. So that was another complicating factor. There was no push for us to say, wait a second, they're up and running and we should be funding them. So it was relatively recently that they got that going to full time again. So that's another complicating issue of that.
I believe that was in 2020 that they had an appropriation for $60,000 and they wound up being closed for a portion of that time. I guess one question I have, which I don't know the answer to, is what happened to the unexpended funds? I don't know if
it was. It just rolls back into the general fund. So if they don't.
So it went back to, it came back to the city then.
Right.
Okay. Oh, do we give it to them like monthly or something?
Yes.
Oh,
we don't give them all this up front. So,
so they give us
their own budgeting.
It's like expense reports. They basically right.
They give us an invoice each month and we write them a check.
Okay. Okay. So they didn't, so the second week of the pandemic, they didn't just run off to the casino or something. So I wonder what that information would we be able to get that information that can kind of give us an idea of where they're spending their money, how often they're purchasing things, what it at least that'll give me kind of a picture of everything that's going on.
Because the money that we're paying them right now is just for salaries. It's for a chef, I think, so a cook, and another
so it's position. Itemized.
No, it's just salaries right now.
But they'll find out. We'll get it. Okay. Yeah, just out of that'd be great.
In the meantime, you can drop by anytime during the day. And they've got activities going and stop by for lunch.
Yeah, I can definitely ask her for, if we give you back the $60,000, what exactly is this going to be spent on? Like a line item detail.
I think that would be really helpful.
Yeah. And that's on top of the $63,000 they're getting from the county already for 2023.
Right, but the $63,000 is going to help support, in part, the director's salary. Is that right?
I believe so.
All right, any other new business? If there's no new business, then I will adjourn the meeting at 7:38.